Hey there, Friday Night Movie family. You are listening to a very special South by Southwest episode of the Friday Night Movie podcast. Tune in for all of the exciting interviews we have coming to you this week and beyond. And if you're at the festival, we hope you're having an amazing time. Here we are, and welcome to Friday Night Movie's coverage of South by Southwest. We are, Becky and I are in the Friday Night Movie headquarters. This is our first interview. That's what we're calling it.
Headquarters.
Headquarters, overlooking
what we're calling
whatever the, I don't know any of the geography.
There's like a river.
There's a river, there's some hotels, and there are a couple of fantastic guests we have with us. Kaylee McGee, director, star, writer of Cannes, which is amazing, and JP, producer of Cannes. And as everybody knows, we have now have a special empathy for producers.
I mean, so I always have, but sure.
Now I want to interview all the producers. But we're going to start, of course, with Kaylee, who made just an incredible, brave, funny, heartfelt, honest film. My first question is, does it get tiring that everybody starts an interview with like those words?
I'm laughing right now. This is like my first interview on the ground floor at South By. So as of now, it hasn't gotten tiring to hear that. It just feels like really cool and blissful and like, oh my gosh, wow, this is exciting.
Oh, okay, good. All right. Maybe you won't ever get bored of it, but I can't imagine anyone starting an interview about this film with anything like, thank you for making this. Thank you for sharing this with us. Becky saw it first, and Becky, you know, we text each other while we're watching the stuff, and Becky's just like, Can is amazing. No. And I was the last thing I watched, so it's like very fresh in me. Becky, since you've been absorbing this the longest, what do you want to ask Kaylee?
I mean, it, like Shai said, it's a very brave film, but it's also very funny. And I want to ask you about finding that balance when you were writing and when you were performing between the darker or more dramatic moments and then cutting right through that with the humor. How, why were those decisions that were made when you were writing or when you were actually filming and you're with, you know, because it's very different, words on the page versus when you're with another performer. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Definitely. Finding the balance between darkness and comedy, you know, it's a careful balance. It's a fine line for me. And I think it comes like rather effortlessly because that's the balance that I'm constantly riding in real life. So with my personal real life cancer journey, I was like really dipping into the darkness and then pulling myself out in real time, like with the humor. And a lot of the times, like what's written on the page, when it's coming out into a final draft out of my mind, like I can already hear it in a way. So I have a really clear idea of like the jokes or the moments that are like inherently like funny. And I think a lot of times the twistedness of life and the darkness just is funny. That's where the juice is. And on set in the moment, finding a lot of surprise with my fellow actors in the moment. And sometimes some of the stuff that I write actually like comes out and it's not funny. And it's like actually like the most like heartfelt line of the scene or the film. So sometimes I also don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I'm just like caught completely by surprise.
So surprise is a good way for me to describe how I felt, because the film has a very dramatic photo of you with no hair poking your head out of this poking out of curtains. That's the first shot of the movie as well. And it immediately, but the first things I started doing was like cracking up and laughing. Particularly, there's a moment where you show yourself at, because you're playing you, but it's not you, right? Like it's you, but it's.
You didn't really give a synopsis for our listeners of it. It's the story of a woman, yours. I mean, again, because I don't know how much of it is truly autobiographical or, you know, elaborated upon or, new elements for the sake of the film, but a story of your cancer experience.
Totally.
But told with humor and an incredible sincerity.
So your head's popping out. And, like, there's just, like, human instincts of, like, oh, this is going to be heavy. And then immediately you show yourself, or not immediately, but, like, pretty soon we see you at work. And, like, just sort of, like, going to your job and you're a director and you're directing this person. And I was, like, and you're just saying words. You're just giving direction and telling this woman to pick up a hammer differently three different times. And I was, like, cracking up. Out loud. So, like, one of the things I wanted to know is, like, does that's supposed to be a funny scene? Because you're hilarious in that scene, and you're just showing, like, a hilarious thing about movie making there.
That, it, like, has nothing to do with cancer. That it's just, like, so this is what
where,
this
where does that come from? Where does that scene come from?
Okay, I'm glad that you guys think that's funny. I think it's hilarious, and that scene was always written as to be funny, and it's just regular life of like directing commercials or branded content. And to me, it's really funny that I'm doing that while I'm in the middle of cancer treatment for stage 4 breast cancer. But it's like, you know, she's got to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And here we are. So to me, there is like the part of it is the cancer experience, but it's mostly just like pure humor.
Yeah.
But also that's a commercial that we really made that not what you're seeing, but it's based on a very real. In fact, the line she even says is based on a real commercial that Kaylee and I worked on.
That's amazing. So you are a team. Yeah. Let's bring in JP, the producer. So you're a team. You work on stuff together.
My first question is, what's your story? How far back do you guys go?
Are you siblings? We're siblings. We assume everyone is siblings.
We're not siblings, but we are a pair of some sort.
Okay.
No. We're partners.
Oh, okay. All right.
We
both creatively and in life.
Yeah. Okay, that's awesome.
That's so great.
We met on set on a commercial that I was directing. JP was creative directing, and we worked really well together, and we just really vibed. So creative came first, and then the partnership and romance came pretty quickly second. And so you'll know now that the boyfriend character in the film might potentially be based off of JP.
I want you to talk more, Kaylee, about like this realism versus, maybe a little bit of fictionalized version of you, but how much of...
JP's concerned we think he's, like, rubbing his hands in fish.
Oh, I am.
Oh,
I
you
am.
Are. Okay. He's not concerned. He wants everyone to know he's a great cook, actually. That's what he's getting at. Those are great scenes because... Okay, can I tell you why I thought that scene was amazing?
Yeah, I just also want to jump in and say that those... Thanks for saying that, because those were, like, the hardest scenes.
Because, yeah. Okay, the... I don't know. So what I got from it is you're struggling with how you're changing and this, I mean, the way you repeatedly called yourself disgusting throughout the movie was so powerful and intense. So you're dealing with that. And then you have the boyfriend coping and touching fish, but then he's disgusting because he's touching fish. And honestly, that's the grossest. I hate fish smell. I was so grossed out. I was like, please don't touch her.
So did the actor. And that fish really smelled.
I'm assuming if it's sitting out on a hot set for many hours.
Yeah, his hands were gross.
So realism versus real life, realism versus not real. What is it? Fiction versus real.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that? How do you navigate people looking at you being like, this is so real, but how much of it is real?
I navigate the real is it real or is it fiction? I kind of thrive in that, you know, like when JP and I watched like Nathan for You or the rehearsal.
Yes.
He has his hands covering his eyes, like so embarrassing and so cringy. And I'm leaning forward towards the TV. I think that is such a sweet spot for me where I really love to play with reality in a way where I'm using my real life and myself as a canvas. I think it's very like fruitful to explore the themes that like haunt me and inspire me. And so I just take reality and twist it and enhance it, I would say by 33%. And then
it's a good number.
Now we got a movie.
So on that note, every scene is the best scene in this movie.
Oh.
But one of the themes that you're talking about is this pressure to create art and something meaningful out of your own experience or tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
There's that scene in the diner where the friend is giving you advice or telling you what to do.
Oh, Whitmer? That's the actor Whitmer?
Whitmer Thomas?
That dude is hilarious.
I was losing my mind watching it. I was like, this is one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen.
He is so good.
With your narration weaved into it about that, whether it's self-imposed pressure or societal pressure, that we need to create something meaningful out of these tragic experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we need to. I think sometimes people can just have their really difficult experiences and they're not obligated to create anything, but you did.
Mm-hmm.
So that pressure that you talk about in the film, can you elaborate on that for us, or that desire? I mean, I read it as a pressure that someone feels, but maybe it's something else for you, because you're saying that you like to take what you're going through and expand on it. But I guess my question is how much of what you're talking about in the narration is what you were really feeling? Did you feel a pressure to create something?
I absolutely felt a pressure to create something and to like make this health experience mean something more than just being a human being who has a chronic illness. It was like, I have to make this mean something. It has to be for something. I can't just be 35 and sick. And that's something that I've like struggled with or been navigating my whole life, that I think it's really like, to be super honest, like a self-worth issue, that unless I'm creating something and turning stuff out and I have something that lingers more than just like my life will or something, that I'm like a no good piece of junk. And so much of the narration is really like personal and super true to my actual experience. And so it's just like an ongoing thing. And like, I'm more and more aware of that self-put pressure as I get older. But I still haven't figured out to like let it go, because in a way creating stuff and translating my human experience is like how I heal, and making films is like my bliss point, and it helps me get out of bed in the morning. So even though my therapist like wants me to work on just like being more present and just chill as like a mid-sized mammal in Earth school, I'm like, no, but I have to be productive and turn it out.
Okay. Now
I have a question.
Right, well, too many questions.
Sorry.
No, go.
No, I hope
you should ask a question.
Well, now I'm like, okay, there. That you also make fun of the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you slaying the dragon? Is that you taking the piss out of yourself? Because that scene with Whitmer is like hilarious, where he's telling you to exploit it, and that you're so lucky because nobody has cancer in Hollywood right now. Yep. Like, that is so. Like, so what's your purpose behind that scene? Because it slays from it. Humor standpoint, it's hilarious, but I'm so curious what you're trying to achieve with that.
Thank you. I would say that when someone is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and they're sitting at home thinking about whether they missed their Hollywood opportunity to climb the ladder to be a known person who has multiple Getty images of them on Google Image, I would say that's like a form of mental illness. And that's something that I struggled with, you know? So I really wanted to be like honest with this film, and I could, that's a great example of like seeing the darkness and like seeing the humor at the same time, being like, is my IMDb pro meter going to be up or down? And it's like, dude, you are, have a life threatening illness. So bringing in wit was like a great way to have a straight white male tell me all the things that I needed to hear as a female undergoing breast cancer. So I just wanted to lay it all out on the table.
That's wild. Also, I just discovered what an IMDb pro meter is, and I still don't understand it. Someone clearly is paying attention to it.
Interview.
Yeah, you might have to explain it to us.
Okay.
I think that's such a beautiful way to use that. That's awesome.
I also want to acknowledge that, like, when Kaylee wanted to make this movie, she was feeling horrible. Like, she it was like one of the lowest points of your whole life, like in bed on the couch all the time. And I'm like, you what? You want to make a movie right now? And so she just had this like extreme desire, like a need to make this, and so we just made it happen however we could.
Well, that's my question for you. So I love what you're saying, Kaylee, about like you need to create, you have to make stuff. Okay, but you're the producer, so you got to take the I need to make stuff and then actually put all the pieces in place. So it's wonderful that you have such a beautiful partnership that allows you to have such insight into everything that Kaylee is going through. But I feel like that must also change the stakes for you as a producer.
Definitely. And we designed the way the shoot was going to be exactly like you mentioned, where, you know, normally I think on a short film you might shoot 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row, and you're shooting 10 to 12 hours. Well, we shot like 10 or 11 days on this. Sometimes it was just one scene a day, and it was really, we were extremely lucky to be working with friends and collaborators who understood that, and they just showed up for a few hours one day, we shot, and then we wouldn't shoot for a week, and then we would come back and we would shoot another scene. And that felt like a really good pace for Kaylee, and it also allowed us to, like, you know, tell the story in exactly the way we wanted to tell the story.
I love hearing that you didn't have to follow the convention, that because of your community you were able to actually, I mean, you were able to pull it off quite brilliantly.
All right, now let's get into now let's just like family therapy here.
Yeah, isn't this supposed to, this is supposed to be a fun podcast, yeah, right?
No, it is going to be fun. Well, I feel like we can also be like cringeworthy and dark in our humor at some point. Yeah. We will get to that soon. Do we have time? We have time. Okay. So, but first I want to ask, okay, yes, you made this movie in the context of this like life-threatening stakes, but you just work together and your partners. I now work with my sisters 24 hours a day. Not the same as working with my wife. I don't think she would tolerate me.
She doesn't even listen to the podcast.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
She lives with the podcast.
She lives with the podcast.
Well, at least we can talk about her then.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And my husband too. Talk about him all the time.
What's the secret sauce to working together creatively?
I'll let you answer that
Kaylee,
one.
Kaylee, you can answer that one.
What's the strength of you two working together creatively? Like, when I talk about working with my sisters, mm-hmm, I say it is amazing that every day when we go to work, there's two people I trust with the lives of my children that I work with every day. They're literally like, they're in the will to get my children. Yeah. So like, there is a deep level of trust that even if we get mad at each other, which happens sometimes, there is this like understanding, you know, for us, it comes from birth. For you all, it's, you know, it's a different situation, but so I view that as like one of the X factors of us being a family that works together. What are the X factors of you all working together?
Well, we don't have kids yet. So besides our cat, the next and most important thing is like our creative output. And I put my trust in like that level that I want to hit is like more important than anything. So being able to like trust JP's like point of view and creative taste and like being able to execute, it's like essentially being able to say like, you know, the will thing with the kids. It's just so important. And it's so rare for me to trust someone in the creative like filmmaking sphere. So to have that and to be like attracted to you and like feel like we gel in all the ways. It just truly feels like a miracle. And I think that the secret sauce is that we feel super aligned all the time. Like, we'll walk out of a movie and have like a very similar opinion, I would say like 80% of the time, which is really rad. And then we also just like fill in each other's holes a little bit in terms of like strengths, especially like on set. Sometimes what I miss is stuff that you're really good at, and like vice versa.
Yeah, I would just echo that. How rare is it to actually like feel the same kind of feelings and taste that another creative collaborator has? So for us, the fact that just clicks, it's just like a dream come true being able to collaborate with Kaylee.
Wait, so now I want to hear about the 20% where you don't agree. Movies do you not agree on?
I would say it's more like 10%.
10%.
Like, I need to know like one example of something one of you, like you gave Nathan for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, I respect the work for sure, but I am exactly like Kaylee said, I'm like watching through my hands, like I'm covering my face. It's hard to watch for me.
We got an episode and a half into The Curse, and then JP was like, I'm done, I'm out. I can't.
Lily, our sister, is really into The Curse,
and
right?
I was like, okay, like.
That's the new Nathan.
Yeah, Safdie Brothers thing.
Yeah.
And then you tapped out, and then I just kept going, and that felt like a little bit like, all right, man, like you're gonna keep going on that, sure. Respect. No, do you? And I'm like, okay, it's not great, like it's not slapping,
I just clicked over to Next Level Chef and it was all good.
Well, there's the show. Okay, you're hiding behind that cooking again. Yeah. Okay, so we know you make great music videos because you're going to be back with Yacht to talk about My Idea, which is such a cool music video, but we're not going to talk about that now. So we know you make music videos. We know you make commercial videos. We know you make deeply personal, blurring the lines of reality, comedy, drama, masterpieces. You seem quite versatile. What's on your wish list of like movies that you want to make, or styles of genres of movies you want to make?
My wish list of things I want to make, my biggest passion since I was a kid is feature films. I made a feature film in like 2010 that was like very lo-fi, and I had no money, so I designed it to be packaged as a documentary, and it's actually like a scripted narrative, and I thought that was gonna like break me into big time Hollywood, and it's called #blessed, and nobody saw it. JP hasn't even seen it. I think you saw the first half, and then you were like, this is too cringy for
me. That's in the
10%? Yeah, that's the 10%, because it's like me kind of chubby, like running around New York playing like a delusional actress, and he was like, I can't with this right now.
Yikes.
And my dream would be to make a feature film where we just had a little bit more support and a little bit more resources, because... yeah, keeping cooking on these narrative shorts, the blood, sweat, and the tears, and everything that all indie filmmakers do. You know, I feel like I try to push it as much as I can. So the stories that I want to tell are like similar themes, expansion of some of the themes of identity and like what does it mean to be real and what is this world all adding up to, but just in a longer format.
Cool. And JP, you want to make Marvel movies? Is that?
Yeah, that's where we disagree on the 10%. Is that I just love those. I love Disney so much. No, I mean I'm here for it. I'm along for the ride. So Kaylee has a feature script that's really, really, really strong, and I really hope we get to make it.
Okay, now can I get my cringy myself? I feel like with a person who likes cringy, I want to ask a cringy question. Okay, so. Like someone might look at your thing, see the picture, and be like, cancer movie.
Breast cancer movie.
Specifically breast cancer movie?
God, please.
You don't want to be lumped in with other cancer movies.
That's kind of the beauty of it, though, right? That people expect, like, even I'm imagining as we premiere tomorrow, somebody, like, seeing the poster downstairs and saying, like, oh, a cancer movie? Like, what, you know?
So
it's like cancer movie plus it's like breast cancer short film. It's like I hear that and I'm like, oh no.
And it's not at all what you would expect when you hear. Yeah.
So are there cancer movies that you're like, yeah, that's a cool cancer movie, like my movie, or there are movies where you're just like, wah, wah, I'm not into it.
I think the coolest cancer movie I've seen is Cleo from 9 to 5.
Okay.
That's Agnes Varda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Agnes is just the bee's knees. I mean, she's like the epitome of cool. And that film is another cancer story. It's less about like the, it's not about the cancer treatment experience, but it's about waiting to hear about your diagnosis. That one's the coolest one I've seen.
I thought you were going to say 50-50.
You watched the trailer for 50-50. We never watched 50-50.
The trailer for 50-50 is right up there.
It hits.
Best cancer.
I don't know. Like, I didn't, like, I, did we, there, oh, that Andy McDowell cancer movie.
Oh, my gosh.
That, my like, Life with Michael Keaton?
No.
Because she's in that, too, isn't she?
This came out, like, last year.
And it's, I forget the name. It's, you watch the trailer, and it seems like it's a joke trailer from, like, a different universe. It doesn't make sense, and it seems so stupid, and I...
Here I am not even knowing if we... Did we try to watch it?
I think we tried to watch it.
Because I'm thinking of the movie My Life with Michael Keaton. I'm pretty sure Andy McDowell... doesn't she play his wife in that movie?
All right. She plays his wife in Multiplicity, which is one
of wait, maybe that's what
favorite
I'm thinking. It's one of my favorite movies.
Okay, this is a 10%. Multiplicity all the way. That movie slaps. It is so funny. Just thinking about a visual of Michael Keaton pretending to be on ski.
Yeah.
I can start dying, like just crying with laughter. JP's like, no, nah, whatever.
The fact that number four calls the other guy Steve all the time is so goddamn funny.
That part is...
I like pizza Steve.
I like pizza Steve. Is,
that one, his character is great.
Do you know how many times in my life I have tried to fold aluminum foil the way is it the way three does?
I thought you were gonna say fold a piece of pizza in a wallet because he does that
because he does that too. Yeah, I'm like, I want to check on IMDb. Maybe I messed up this. Maybe I messed
well,
up.
It doesn't matter. Let us
who plays the wife. Let us some Multiplicity. Okay, so before we head out, we love people's recommendations, their favorite things. Multiplicity. That's great. What about some other stuff?
Just general recommendations.
Yeah, like what should people listen? Yeah, there's always a segment in our show about what people should be watching or they should see. It can be silly. It can be fun. It can be
new or old. It's not like, it's like.
In fact, people should be things like Multiplicity sometimes.
Yeah, we think of it like the human algorithm. Like what would, it's like Netflix recommending something to me.
First one is Bowfinger.
Also one of my favorite movies of all time. When we were making our movie, I watched Bowfinger like throughout the summer. And I made our director watch it. I asked her politely.
I have a...
Yes.
KIT. Keep it together. Keep it together. Keep it together. Tattoo on my forearm.
Keep it together. Keep it together.
I love that movie so much. I feel like it's so underrated and underwatched.
Eddie Murphy are incredible in it.
Yeah. And also like I quote that movie often. Keep it together is a good one. I Will Not Show It to the Laker Girls is a good one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's so many. Oh man, I love that movie. People are going to send us FedExes.
Oh, that's such a beautiful, like, little through line, just, like, wanting to have the package, the VIP package delivered like that.
Oh,
Bowfinger. Yeah. My favorite movie of all time is The Birdcage.
That's a great movie.
That's an Nichols. Amazing movie.
I feel like that movie raised me, and I could watch it every single day. Yeah, it's just so...
That movie did not get old.
Watch that with my... So we will show that to our kid, to my
that's
kids.
That's a good one to show them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're so cool.
Agador Spartacus.
Agador Spartacus. Agador Spartacus, he insists on being called by his full name.
They're Greek. Oh, no, wait. My favorite part of now this is just a podcast where people talk about their favorite parts of movies is isn't there a part at the end where Gene Hackman looks at them and goes, "You're Jews?" Or "You're Jewish?" Isn't there some sort of like incredulous moment?
Yep.
We're Jews, so that's extra really funny to us. Yeah. I realized for you guys for a moment that made it cringy. We're like, which side of the joke are they on? And we're like, no, I find that very funny. That when they, like that's what he's concerned about at the end of the movie. What about you, JP?
Well, when we first started dating, we made a top 10 list of our movies, which was extremely hard for me, for both of us, I think. And we had something like three overlaps, which, or maybe four. Mm-hmm. But that felt like a very good sign.
That's very good. There's a lot of movies in
there
the world.
There are a lot of movies. I really like Mike Mills' work a lot. And I think that there's something reminiscent in Kaylee's work as well. But Beginners, I absolutely love that movie. Not as cool of a pick as Kaylee's.
That is so cool.
No, but Beginners.
That's it? That's your one pick?
I'm with you with Beginners. That's a perfect recommendation.
Well, I do
see the crossover with Kaylee's work. Absolutely.
I'll go a different route, though, which is we've been listening to an album a lot recently that just came out.
Wait. Is it with Mike Mills from R.E.M., the bass player from R.E.M.?
Yes. How did you know that? No.
No.
I was like ready for us to become best friends too.
It's called, we can, I would love that. We didn't make it. It's by McGee and unrelated to Kaylee.
Oh, I was going to say, is Kaylee also a musician?
But it's an incredible record.
Okay.
All right.
I will listen to that.
Yeah, I love records.
His new record.
I really trust your recommendations after this conversation.
Yeah.
I trust it anyway after seeing your movie, but...
Thanks.
The film is Ken. It is premiering at South by Southwest. It's a beautiful, amazing, hilarious short. Maybe a feature one day. I only wanted to see more of it.
We didn't even... We touched a little bit on the cast.
They have other things to do.
I know, but I do want to shout out and say the actor who plays your boyfriend...
Mamadou Athi. The cast is incredible.
He's incredible. He's so good.
He's the best.
And the photographer...
Ellen Jameson.
No, thank you for naming the cast. Anyways, they are fantastic. So,
oh, yeah. Thanks. She was... amazing. And the way you put that, I don't want to ruin it for anyone. Okay. Short as Ken, South by Southwest. You also do a lot of other things. You'll be back to talk about yachts. My idea. We wish you an amazing festival and thank you for joining the Friday Night Movie family.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. This was amazing.
Thank you for listening to Friday Night Movie, the sibling rivalry and pop culture podcast. Join the Friday Night Movie family by following @FryNightMovie on all of the socials and visiting our website, FryNightMovie.com. Our theme song is by What Does It Eat? And make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Friday...